Morning, and Romans chapter 13 today for our text. We're going to read a passage from Romans that Paul gave to us that I think is an important part of Scripture that we need to keep in mind. You know, I think this time of the year, I don't know about you, I always enjoy the July 4th, around the July 4th celebration. You'll be see a lot going on this week about the American flag, about our country, about our independence. Maybe many fireworks going off. Some of you maybe will watch it on TV or whatever, but I think we should not take this time of the year lightly, and it should be serious and thankful for what the Lord gives to us. One of the things I want to share with you, how many of you ever been to a funeral service of a veteran where they take and they will then fold the flag and then give it to the widow lady? You ever been to one of those? Oh, all right. Many of you have, and I became aware of this here recently. I want to share it with you because I think it gives us a little insight. I did not know this, but each fold of that flag that they give it to a widow of a veteran and that has passed away, the first fold of that flag is a symbol of life. The second fold is a symbol of our belief in eternal life. The third fold is made in honor and remembrance of the veteran departing our ranks who gave a portion of life for the defense of our country to attain peace throughout the world. The fourth fold represents our weaker nature, for as American citizens trusting in God, it is to Him we turn in times of peace as well in times of war for His divine guidance. Folding at the fifth time is a tribute to our country, for in the words of Stephen Decatur, our country, in dealing with other countries, may she always be right, but it is still our country, right or wrong. I find that interesting that our president now has been in Japan this week at a G20 conference, and I believe today stopped at North Korea to meet the president of North Korea. And so America, as they travel, I could not help but think of the folds in this flag, even as we watch our president and our leaders do what they do. The sixth fold, when you fold it the sixth time, is for where our hearts lie. It is with our heart that we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic. Let me share with you that then, if you will, you know what? I'll have to give you the others on these others. And I thought I must have left another page on my desk. How embarrassing. But let me give you the 12th fold. In the eyes of the Christian, the 12th fold, being for the 12th time, a Christian citizen represents an emblem of eternity and glorifies in their eyes God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So it's interesting, as I read these and started looking at them, read down through the turning of the flag and all the things, next time you get to us, a place where they do that. I did not know that. I did not know that each time you fold those, it has a representation and a meaning behind it. But I always just kind of focus on the widow and the servant that laid down their life and their military. And as we think about this year, those that serve in the United States military, I know Brother Russ Coleman, his son is serving. Mrs. Eaton was just in here a moment ago. I don't see her right now, but we want to recognize or at least say thank you to those that serve in the military and serve around the world and at this time of the year. So we have a lot to be thankful for, a lot to be mindful, and a lot to praise the Lord for as we celebrate our freedoms. There you are right there. Can you tell us your son's name? He's in the military, is that correct? The third, okay. And he is serving in the Army, is that correct? Yeah, in the United States Army, and that you found him on there? Oh, okay, you found it right there. I think I got through, if you will. Ron bails me out here. Pauline did? Amen, amen. All right, I got through the sixth fold. This is good. The seventh fold is a tribute to our armed forces, for it is through the armed forces that we protect our country, our flag against all enemies. The eighth fold, when you fold it the eighth time, is a tribute to the one who entered into the valley of the shadow of death that we might see the light of day and to honor our mother for whom it flies on Mother's Day. The ninth fold is a fold to honor to womanhood, for it has been through the faith, love, loyalty, and devotion that the character of the men and women who have made this country great have been molded. The tenthfold is a tribute to the Father, for he too has given his sons and daughters for the defense of our country since he or she was first born. The 11th fold, in the eyes of a Hebrew citizen, represents the lower portion of the seal of King David, and King Solomon glorifies in the eyes of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then the 12th fold, in the eyes of the Christian citizen, represents the emblem of our eternity, glorifies in their eyes God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know. The one I had said there was 12 folds, but I'll go with yours, Pauline. It says there's 13. I'm going to give you one more. It says, the last fold, when the flag is completely folded, the stars are uppermost, reminding us of our national motto, In God We Trust. And so I just thought that was really interesting and information that we did not know. I will never look at it again the same when you sit in a service and they fold that flag, realizing there's purpose and meaning behind each and every fold and that is folded. And so we do have a lot to be thankful for. I just want to recognize, too, our military as we go into July 4th. And if you were in the Army, stand up all over the service. If you were in the United States Army, served anywhere in the Army, all over the congregation, I want you to just think about this. The Army, Congress created what is now known as the United States Army on June the 14th, 1784, after the end of the Revolutionary War. And however, the Army considers itself to be descended from the Continental Army, which was formed June the 14th, 1775, and thus is the oldest branch of our United States military. Give them a hand, would you? So that's the Army. Those of you that have served in the Marine Corps, stand up, if you will. I know we got Brother Neil in the Marines. And the Marine Corps, two battalions of Continental Marines were formed in November 10th, 1775 in Philadelphia as a naval infantry. Since then, the Marine Corps has served in every American armed conflict, gaining prominence throughout the world with its ability to respond quickly. It is the smallest of our armed forces that operate under the Department of Defense. Give them a hand if you would. Yeah. Amen. You serve in the United States Navy. I know we... Oliver, if you served in the Navy, look around, you see the men that served in the Navy. The Navy traces its origins to the Continental Navy, which was established during the American Revolutionary War, 1775 to 1783, and was essentially disbanded as a separate unit shortly thereafter. However, with the increased attacks against American shipping by Barbary Coast pirates in the Mediterranean Sea, Congress reinstituted the United States Navy with the Naval Act of 1794. Give them a hand. Yeah. Thank you very much. And then the Air Force, if you serve in the United States Air Force, stand up, if you will. And let me share with you that initially the Air Force was born as the United States Army Air Corps in 1926. The Air Force was formed as a separate branch of the military on September the 18th, 1947. It is the most recent branch of our U.S. military. It boasts the largest and most technology advanced Air Force in the world, with nearly 5,800 manned aircraft in service. So give them a hand if you would. Yeah. I don't know if we have anybody serving in the Coast Guard. Is there anybody serving in the Coast Guard, has served in the Coast Guard? But let me share with you, the Coast Guard, unique among the five military branches, is the Coast Guard. It is a maritime law enforcement agency operating under the Department of Homeland Security with peacetime, but can be transferred to the Department of the Navy by the President or the Congress during a time of war. And so I just wanted to recognize and thank the Lord for... I don't think you can get through July 4th without thanking the Lord for our freedoms, our privilege that we have in America. Every time I see that flag, I see a veteran, I see somebody serving in the military. And then to think about it all the way from the very beginning of our history, those that gave their very life for freedom. So freedom is not free. Freedom comes with a price. Liberty is not free. It comes with a price. And I thank God for each and every one of these that have served, but those, if you have family members and those have been a part of that. And I don't know about you, but I always take pride in the great American flag that God has given to us in America. And I don't know if it bothers you, but it bothers me if I see them burning the flag or degrading the flag or doing something that's not honoring the flag. And, you know, I even saw recently, you know, sometimes some of our sports figures will desecrate the flag and put that out there. And I thought, what a tragedy in America to be an American citizen and then not to love the USA and the flag that it represents. And so thank God for the USA, and we should be proud of the heritage that we have. In Romans chapter 13, I want you to think about this today, that Romans 13 is probably the best place in the Bible that shows you and I the relationship that we have to our government. And I know we live in difficult, challenging times from time to time, and sometimes the easy thing to do is to disassociate yourself from government, but we cannot do that. And just say sometimes you get tired or fed up with all the political stuff that goes on, and yet we find that this text here in Romans 13 reminds us that you and I are to be subject unto the higher power, which is God, and that God has put government in place for a plan and for a purpose. Look at it here in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God, and whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister, talking about now those in government, he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. And for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. So again, the title of the message is Be Subject Unto the Higher Powers, and simply by that meaning that you and I are subject to God, and those that serve in political and elected offices serve under the power that God gives to them. You know, it's interesting, as we celebrate this week, July 4th, our Independence Day, it also commemorates the adoption of the Declaration of Independence. I don't know about you, but I have in my library, it's a volume says called We the People. Now, I realize this might be boring reading to some of you, but I'd encourage you to get out your Constitution, get out the Declaration of Independence and read it. Get out the Bill of Rights and read it. The other day, I pulled the book off my shelf and I was looking at it, and I knew July 4th coming up, and I just wanted to read the wording and the language and some of it, and to see the content of it, and to realize those are the founding documents. You know, it's interesting when you think about that, declaring our independence from Great Britain. John Adams wrote this to his wife Abigail on July the 2nd in 1776 in this letter. Notice what he said. He said, July 2nd, 1776 will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. And so it ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, and with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, and from this time forward forevermore. That came written from Adams and to his wife, John Adams wrote to his wife Abigail. So I thought it was interesting, you know, as you think about our freedoms and what our country was founded on and the principles it was founded on, and I had to come back to when I think about government here in Romans chapter 13, and as the colonies, you realize that's over 200 plus years ago, so that's a long time ago. But it left behind, when the colonies broke away from England, some things, they had some reasons why they did that. They just didn't do that just to be doing it. They did it for a reason and a purpose. And here's some of the things on why they broke away from England and why they came to America and why America was founded. And I want you to take these and put them in context of where we're at today in the year of 2019. Here's number one. is they had concerns about legislative representation. Think about that. Do you ever have any concerns today about legislative representation? I don't know about you, but I'd have to say a resounding yes, 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 and amen, amen. And they are elected. You elect your officials to office, and so. But some of the concerns they had in that day was concerns over legislative representation. Second thing, they also had some concerns over overreaching of the executive powers. And that always becomes a concern. And I realized they knew what they were doing when they put into place the legislative branch and the executive branch and then the judicial branch. The third thing that they did, the colonies, when they broke away from England, was concerns over the rule of law. And why you and I should always be attentive to and pay attention to and be aware of Romans chapter 13 is simply because the laws that they write and the laws that are put into place trickle down and affect all of our society and all of the citizenry in the United States of America. You have a vested interest and should be on an ordained institution called the government. They also had a concern when they broke away from England on taxation. And a major concern today is on taxation. And, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes the feeling you get in America, no matter how much they tax you, they're still going to want more, and they're going to want more, and they're going to want more along the way. And so taxation was an issue then, and in our generation today is an issue today. When you look at it, the third thing is the importation or imports and exportation. Exports, they had concerns over trade and trade issues. And yet we see that again, some of the same concerns today in the world in which we live. They had concerns about the incompetence at that time of George III as king. And you could argue that all day, and you know, you look at it, you realize, I saw this week, I didn't think I would see this, but I seen one of our former sitting presidents took a real shot at, this week, our current sitting president. And I thought, wow, in America, you know, to take and to do that, and that we need to pray for and to uplift and to realize that all power is given by God. These presidents that come and serve, it's not their country, it's not their nation. They serve and are given by the vote of the people, we the people, the vote, and to put into office to be able to lead the citizens and to realize that the only power they have is given to them by God. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Here's another reason why they came from England, coming to America to seek out, was in search of a religious freedom. To be able to be a free people, to be able to worship, and to be able to raise your families in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And without interference of the state and without interference of the government. I'll never forget when we decided, when I was pastor at Eastside Baptist Church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, the congregation, we had decided to start a private Christian school. And the battlegrounds that were at that time that was being drawn was we got into huge debates in Pierce, South Dakota, at the legislative branch level, and with lobbyists and with others around the circle, there became a test case there in Canastota, South Dakota, over who really owns our children and whose responsibility is to educate and to train and to teach your children. And the state of South Dakota was making a case that the children ultimately belong to the state. And our argument was, through the Christian Law Association and with the attorneys out of Cleveland, and we had two attorneys there, and one in Huron and one in Sioux Falls, to fight against that, that on the biblical principles is that, no, our children are given to us by God and belong to us. They do not belong to the state. It is you, the parents' responsibility, to educate and train your children. It was a long court battle and a lot of money spent and went through all that, only to get to the very end, and the state of South Dakota ruled in favor of the Christian school movement at that time. That the parents do ultimately have the responsibility to educate, train, and teach their children. So by that meaning, that there always sometimes will be that challenge of religious freedom that can be challenged. That was challenged then. It was challenged, has been challenged from time to time here in America. The eighth thing was here, the Puritans wanted to escape the economic hard times in England. Everybody wants to get to a better place to be able to live and enjoy the economy. It's interesting. I was watching our president just talk about the economy here in Michigan and the United States, that our economy now is stronger than it's ever been in a long, long, long time. I don't know how long, but it is a strong economy. And our president has been complimented on that time and time again with the G20 conference on how strong our economy is. By that meaning, when you look at it here, that God has a plan for government, and that you and I in that plan, in verse 1 talks about here, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, ultimately God, and there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. So being subject, you know what's interesting here when it talks about be subject to, that's a Greek word for, as the same meaning as a soldier being subject to the commanding officer. So there's only one exception to that, is when it goes and it conflicts with the Word of God. And government here, we know, is ordained of God, and God alone is sovereign and ruler of the universe. And so when we think about that as we go into this July 4th week, may we realize the power that America has only been given to that by God, and that He's in control of all things. And so when you look at it, God instituted, if you really think about it here on earth, some authorities. God gave government over all the citizens. God gave the church over the believers in Jesus Christ. And God gave to the parents the authority over our children. I never thought I would ever see that challenge in my lifetime. But from time to time, people get out of place that which is in government, that which is in its citizens or in the government, or parents in control of our families and our children, and then employers over employees. So God instituted those authorities here on earth. And human government's authority derives from, as is defined by God, to reward the good. Notice this in verse 2. And then it goes on here that whosoever therefore resisteth the power, he goes on, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to them a damnation. For rulers, notice this now, are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. We should never feel threatened by our government. We should realize that the government's role is really to do good for the people, and to restrain, to be able to restrain sin, and to be able to restrain the evils of a fallen world that we live in. I know right now it's really controversial that when our president was in Japan, that, you know, he said, well, he wanted to go by North Korea, get to the DMZ, and just to shake the hands of the North Korean leader, who is a communist, who is the evils of the world, I don't know. I think it's a good thing. I think the more he can get out and do good and send the message of what America is about and our founding principles, better to do that if you can head things off at the pass and to restrain. Really, the purpose of government is to restrain the evils and the sins and the things that are in the fallen world that we live in. Notice in verse 2 here, to resist this power is to resist God. To resist that, and the disobedience to government is a rebellion against God. I don't know about you, but from I think our news waves have been full of resistance. I cannot remember in my lifetime more hatred for, more resistance against those that show up in the White House to be our president and to be our leader, and to see this the trouble that goes on is to resist against that, is to resist against God. And so governments are to be a deterrent to crime and to do good and to be peaceful. He says here, for he is the minister of God to thee for good, but thou do that which be evil, be afraid. For he that beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So government is to serve as a minister for good, restraining evil, protecting the life, liberty, and inflicting punishment upon those who break the laws of the land. Must be subject to in order to keep a clear conscience before God. And for this cause, God then requires submission and to be able to do our part. Notice in verse 7, he says, render. That would indicate in verse 7, render therefore all their dues. It's not voluntary, it's mandatory to fear God and to honor him and to honor those that serve in these positions of leadership. Let me share with you some interesting things when you think about government. And you think about God's ordaining and God giving power and some things. What is it that you would be willing to fight for and stand for and believe in and say on certain things you will not budge? I think one is you look at a core, I would just call them core values. It's a principle that guided our internal conduct as well as our relationship with the world. And some of these core values is really the sanctity of human life. would be one. And you think about that right now, I really believe as we move forward and that to see there's doors opening little by little. I remember the day that Roe versus Wade was put into law in the United States of America. And what is it, the millions that have been killed since that time, and to realize that maybe there's a chance that we'll see over time that Roe versus Wade can be changed. And it probably will reflect back to the states, but the sanctity of human life. And you hear what I hear when you think about all the challenges of life. When does life begin? And then at what time are, you know, how you're allowed to abort that life. And so I think one of the darkest sins on America is the abortion issue that we deal with on a regular basis. Here's another one is a list of one of our core values is the sanctity. Think about this, the sanctity of marriage and the home and the family. So think about where the attacks have come from. The attacks have come on abortion in our generation. The attacks have come on marriage and family and the home. If Satan and the world system can destroy the family and destroy the home and attack there, that weakens the nation. Not only that, it weakens the church and it weakens the other two institutions, which is the church and which is the government. So where's our attack from? It's from the abortion issue. It's from the attack on the family and the home and the family unit. And third thought is the sanctity of parents to their children. That there's nobody that you should have absolute control and decision-making process and not giving your children over to others and especially those in the ward of the state. And when we think about the challenge, I never thought in my lifetime I would see that be challenged, especially in a court of law, as to actually who a child belongs to. Belongs to you, that God has given to him as father and a mother. I think here's another core value that we need to pray for and to seek out and to stand firm on, and that is the free exercise of religion. I think the free exercise of religion and to realize that not all parts of the world have the free exercise of the religion. Sometimes I think we take it for granted by coming in here in a place like this and we have the freedom to worship, the freedom to sing, the freedom to pray, the freedom to give, and to do what we do in Christianity. That is not so in all parts of the world. That is a core value that we should say that we strongly believe in. We believe in the sanctity of human life, the sanctity of marriage and the family, the sanctity of parents to have absolute control over their children, the sanctity of realizing the free exercise in religion. And then I think let's go one step more on a core value, and that is the moral dignity of each person. I don't know about you, but I see less and less of a respect in the world that we live in. Respect for our leaders, respect for our parents. Have you ever been somewhere out in the community where you see a lack of respect? Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I tell my wife, I say, I wish they'd just give me them for 5 minutes. And, you know, but you can't. You can't control other people's children. You can't control what goes on. But then the moral dignity of each person and our morals in this land are being challenged. So the sanctity of human life, the sanctity of marriage and family, the sanctity of parents and their children, the sanctity of the free exercise of religion, and then the sanctity of moral dignity of each person alive. And then the right to own our private properties, and thank God that those have not been challenged. But and then to be able to secure the right of our own firearms. And you say, well, what an issue, you know, and you think about that here for peace and for liberty. And that I'll tell you what, I think America would be in deep, dark trouble the day they decide to take away the firearms. I think there are more firearms here in the United States of America and that than probably any other nation in the world. And to be able to realize that we have the security of that right to own those firearms. To secure a system of checks and balances between the branches of government. There is a lot at stake right now in the cycles in which we live. And so, and then, if you will, to secure a strong military and to secure then the system of a fair taxation on the government upon its citizenry. So when you think about it here, he says in verse 5, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. So therefore render all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. I really believe, take your Bible if you will, in this verse you're very familiar. We've used it here in church many times in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter chapter 7 and verse 14, I think a lot of the responsibility falls upon believers, upon the church, upon the Christian community, upon we as family members, and to realize here that this scripture is so true, in which God said, and this is what he said to Israel, I think it also applies to America, if my people which are called by my name, so if you're called by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a believer in Christ, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and then what? Turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So here's our prayer request, if you will, in the year of 2019. You know, I don't know about you, but I think really the last presidential election in our country was a key turning point in our nation. I think this last week, I don't know if you follow any of the news, but there's a lot at stake going on here in America. You have those crying out for a socialistic government. You have many of those in congressional positions of leadership. You see things coming to a stalemate in the Congress and the legislation. You see a president that is being challenged on a lot of things. There's a lot at stake in this government, which is an ordained institution of God that he created and put in place. So the Bible simply says, the responsibility, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So it's absolutely important. The believer's responsibility is huge. And we need to pray and we need to vote and we need to work and we need to enjoy our freedoms and our liberties that we have this week. This week, we'll celebrate July the 4th. It's a great holiday. It's a declaration of our independence, and it'll be a great week, and you'll get together with family or friends or do whatever, but to realize that came with a great price and a great cost. And so to realize as we celebrate, we also should celebrate our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the responsibility comes down to we need to be praying for, working for, and helping to do all that we can do to make America what it needs to be. And that starts right in our own homes, our own families, of teaching our children and our families about the flag and about the importance of our country and the importance of the values and the things that God has given to us. And so the main thing I think today, if you will, my friend, as a Christian, is to realize don't take these privileges for granted and to realize we have a responsibility. So do you know God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? I think Ron put up the video a while ago, and many of our early founding believers believed in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This nation was built upon Judeo-Christian principles and values, believing in the God that you and I believe in today. And it's absolutely important and crucial that we continue that heritage and that stand and what we believe in, and we reach out to those around us and continue to uplift the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and Christianity as we proclaim that both here at home and around the world and through our missionaries. So my question today is, do you believe? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And then going back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, and the responsibility comes to humbling ourselves before the Lord and praying. Now, here's the trap. I think we need to be careful. You can say, well, that's not my fault. That's not my problem. Let somebody else do it. No, it's ours. It individually comes to us to pray for America, to pray for our president, to pray for our leaders, to make sure you're part of the system. And not to realize you just can't hide your head in the sand and then think one day it's all going to turn out for good. Though this world is full of evil and wickedness, and he simply says here, to seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, will heal their land. America has a lot of sins and national sins, and this is not the same America that I grew up in. I don't know about you, but what you recognize, but our world is changing bit by bit by bit by bit. Oh, that it would come back to God and the values and the principles and the core values and what we believe in, and we need to pray to that effect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. God, we thank you for Romans chapter 13. We thank you for making it clear where real power comes from. It's not in governments, and the government only has the power that you have given to them. And so, God, we do seek your face. We do humbly bow ourselves before you. We do pray and ask, God, that you would put your hand upon America and upon this country. And it all starts with us as individuals and believers. And to realize we are just one person, but we can do our part, and one can become many. So, God, we pray for a healing for America today. We pray for a healing for our country. And we pray today that we would take seriously these things that we have been presented with here today. And God, we see today a changing world in which we live. And God, today we see a changing America in which we live. And I've often said, God, I'm not worried about me. I know I'm saved and probably closer to heaven than living here on this earth. And if you tarry your coming and the Lord Jesus tarries his coming, what kind of world will this be that is left behind for our children, our grandchildren? So God, this is serious, serious stuff. And I pray today that your hand would be upon our great nation, that as we celebrate this week, July 4th, the Declaration of Independence, our religious freedom and principles and values, God, may we never take that for granted. And God, it's our prayer today, if there's one here that's not saved, that doesn't know you today, that they'd open their heart and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior today. God, I thank you for these seven that were saved during this week in Vacation Bible School. I pray you'll put your hand of protection on them and raise them up, and they'll grow, and their life will cultivate, and they'll stay faithful to you. And God, that we'll pray for them and do all we can to help them to grow. And because what the future holds, God, depends today upon how we approach this and how we humbly pray and seek your face and pray your will would be done both here at home and around the world. So God, we submit and give all this to you, asking Christians today to humble themselves and to pray and to seek your face, that America would continue to be great. But most of all, God, that we'd have the religious freedoms to be able to serve you and to love you and to worship in a nation that has God on the throne. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together, if you will, today. I don't know the need of your heart. It's not important that I know. God knows. And if you want to pray and come to the altar today, we encourage you to do that. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, my friend, it all starts with us, God's people. If you're here and you're not saved, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you would just come. Brother Ron.
Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded. Turn not away. Jesus
sings another verse. I'm going to ask today, if you would, those that would be willing to do so, men, women, visitors, members, let's take a moment and close our service on our knees today and just pray for America this July 4th, this time of the year, and to take serious what God just said. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Could we do that today? With every head bowed, if you'll just, who will come and join me here at the altar today? Just step out and come and pray. I'll wait for you to get here. If you need to sit, you can sit on the front row. But this is July 4th week. This is Independence Week. This is the week we're going to celebrate and shoot off fireworks and just have a fun week with family, friends, or whatever. But God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, So why don't we do that right now as we close? I thought what an appropriate way to maybe close the service today as we do that. So we'll just wait until, for those that would like to just to make your way here to the front today. I'm going to take this green microphone here, if you would. Where's Brother Bob Wilcox? Bob, I'm going to give you this microphone. If you would, sir, to, you have to probably turn it on. I'm going to ask Brother Bob Wilcox, one of our deacons, and to lead us to the throne of grace, and then I'll pray, and we'll ask you then to go back to your seats.
Most Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for this time we can come and worship you, Lord. We thank you for all those who protect the country, Lord, that you would just continue to guide and direct them, give them peace and understanding. We pray that you would just give us deliverance, Lord. Help us to stay firm and strong in your word and in your will and in your way. We thank you, Lord, for those who went before us that didn't return. We pray you give them peace. We pray, Lord, for this day, that you would just continue to guide and direct us. Keep us in that will and that way. In Jesus' name I pray.
Our Heavenly Father, God, we love you. And God, we thank you for the Word of God. And God, we humble ourselves before you today, seeking your face and your power and your strength, praying for America, praying for our president, our vice president, our congressional leaders, those that serve on the Supreme Court, those that have the power given to them by you that can make life-changing decisions that affect all of our lives sitting in this sanctuary today. So God, we lift them up in prayer today and asking you to guide and direct. Have your will and your way. God, we confess our sin before you as a nation, as a country. These sins that are in our land, God, this is not the same America it was 50 years ago. So God, we pray today, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, is our prayer. But until you come, God, we pray that we can return to the principles and the sanctity of life and the values and the freedoms and the joys of our family. We pray that you would strengthen every father and every mother. The home and the family is under attack today. God, we need your presence. We need your power upon that. God, we need your protection upon our president as he crisscrosses the world and stands for liberty and freedom, carrying the message of America around the world. God, I pray for a healing in our Congress between those that serve, that they would do what's right for the nation, for the country. We have lives that are dying on the border in Mexico. We have other issues and problems going on. God, we just pray for revival and that you'll bring our hearts back to you and you be at the center of all that we do. And oh God, may this July 4th, we just praise your holy name and humble ourselves before you and lift you up on high and thank you for being our God and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Have a great week.